Church. Well, our topic for today is going to be living water, but it's part of our theme in His Footsteps about learning, living and leading. Living water is one of the phrases that Jesus uses when He speaks about Himself. Now, last week, Ben mentioned the seven I am statements and had a rather memorable enactment with the children, which I'm not going to try and repeat. It was a one-off deal. But I do have some pictures to jog our memory. So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate or the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. And I am the true vine. Who remembered all of those? Good. Some of you have remembered. Now, whilst Jesus didn't exactly say, I am the living water, let me make it very clear, He is stating that He is living water. So in John 7, verse 37, it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And now that's not the only place, though, that we get this concept and this understanding of living water. Now, yes, that's what Jesus says, but it's not the only place that we have that phrase. But before we go any further, what do we actually know about water of itself? Like, what properties do we know about water? Well, some facts about water is it's essential for life. We cannot live without water. We can live without food, but we cannot live without water. We're 70 to 80% water in our body, so it's definitely 100% essential for us to be able to live. We need it to drink. Even if you think, well, no, I don't drink water, your tea, your coffee, your Fanta, your Coke, whatever it is, there's still lots and lots and lots of water in it. We need it to wash and cleanse ourselves, and it's necessary for cooking, and it makes things grow. If you don't water a plant, it will very quickly turn brown and curl up its leaves and it's gone. Now, in Australia, we are very aware of the importance of water. We live in an arid country and we know the necessity of water, the value of water, and how precious it can be, perhaps more than some other countries. Now, some of you know that Ben and I have got a property and we've lived on it with our children. And there was a season when we lived on our property and we were in the midst of a long drought. Now, we aren't connected to town water. We have rainwater. We're off-grid, no power, no sewerage. We do have sewerage, but let's not talk about that. Rainwater, solar-powered. And when it doesn't rain, we literally have no water. So we had a time when we were living with our kids at our farm and we had no water and we're saving every scrap of water. So do you know what we did? We went down to the river to have our baths. And we would literally throw in our towels, our shampoos, our soaps, and the water, the river had shrunk and there wasn't much water flowing, but we'd find a little space and the water wasn't anywhere near as deep as it should be, but we would go there and we would have a little bit of a swim and a splash and a clean and come home because it was one of the ways that we could actually save some water. But I love my showers. So this is our outdoor shower. So when our tanks are full, guess what? When the tanks are full, I will have a long, 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 long shower. I must confess that I will use the shower until the hot water runs out. Oh, so a few people. Oh, it's all right. At the farm, it's either wood-fired or it's gas, so it's much, much cheaper. So in Australia, we understand the concept and the importance of water, but hang on, we've got this phrase living water. What exactly is living water? That's a little bit different. living water. Living water is water that flows. It's water that has life in it and is life-giving. Now, I spend a lot of my time in Tasmania, which has beautiful waterfalls. And for me, that is the image that I have when I think of living water. It's flowing and everything around it is full of life. It's often in a rainforest. But I also know what dead water is. It's those stagnant ponds where it's polluted and it's full of things that kills. So living water is what gives life. All right, I feel like I've kind of laid some bare foundations. Before we go any further, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, there are so many aspects to who you are and what you do. And we only get the merest glimpses of them. But we want to understand more of who you are and your incredible power and your presence. Because that transforms us and it changes lives and it changes communities and it changes nations. And so Jesus, this morning, might you give us hearts and minds to understand your word. Holy Spirit, unblock our ears and open our eyes so that we may respond to the things that you're stirring in our hearts. And this we pray. Amen. So for me to be able to really explain living water and the concept of what Jesus is stating when he says, I am living water, even though he's not using the words I am, I really need to take you right back to the very beginning, to the book of Genesis. And it says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. I want you to just picture in your mind for a moment that the earth was formless. There was nothing there. It was empty. And before God even began the steps of creating and beginning something new, he actually allowed his spirit to hover over the waters. And then as his spirit hovered over the waters, he said, let there be light. And there was a separating from light and darkness. His spirit hovering over the waters allowed the beginning of the transformation and the new beginnings to take place. And that is taken a step further when we look into the next passage in Exodus, where we have the story of Moses leading the Israelites out. And it says this, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. This is when the Israelites are already on their way out of Egypt. And they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? I'm pretty sure they didn't say that, by the way. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then listen to this next bit. Then the angel of the Lord, who'd been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. It's as if the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, separating light from darkness. Do you see? It's the same kind of imagery. It's like the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, separating light from darkness. And this allowed the Israelites to go through on the sea on dry ground. And the wall of waters was on their right and on their left. We have this same imagery that living water comes about, new beginnings come about when the Spirit of God is at work over the waters. Now, a Jewish ritual cleansing is called a mikvah. And it's this beautiful ceremony that is about, and it comes from Leviticus and it begins and goes a whole lot further as tradition goes on. But it's about cleansing themselves and purifying themselves. And it's about them stepping into the waters and believing that God is going to come over them and cleanse and separate the good from the bad, essentially, and allow them to then come out clean. And that's where we get baptism from. It's that same kind of concept. So mikvah is like coming into the waters and asking God to come over you and to separate light from darkness, good from bad, cleansing us and making us clean so that we might be more like him. I want you to just keep these concepts in your mind as we keep going. So what is living water? Living water brings life. What have we learned so far? Living water in Genesis is new beginnings. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And living water separates light from dark, Genesis and Exodus, and can also be likened to baptism and spiritual cleansing. Okay, so in John 7, verse 37, it said, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. On the last and greatest day of the festival, what festival? What is he talking about? And why is that even important? Why do we need to know that there's a festival happening when Jesus actually says this? Well, actually, it's really important because we need to know what kind of festival it was and that it actually was the last and greatest day of the festival because there was a whole lot of things. So buckle yourselves in because this is the best part of the story. Okay, so the festival is actually the Festival of Tabernacles. And from the Jewish understanding, this is the most holy festival of all. For while they love Passover, that's about remembering their suffering and their sorrowing and the angel of death passing over them. But the Festival of Tabernacles is all about joy. It's about them marching through the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, and coming through to the other side and leaving their enemies behind them, going through the desert and coming to the promised land and God leading them the whole way. So the Festival of Tabernacles was when they had 7 days of celebrating that God led them through the desert. And so they were to build these little tabernacles, these booths, these shelters, and it was all about coming before God with joy and celebration. It was meant to be a week-long party. So Deuteronomy 16 says, celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days after you've gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. Be joyful at your festival. That's almost like a command. Be joyful at your festival. You, your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. In other words, if there are people in your midst who don't have the resources to celebrate, you make sure you give them something to celebrate with. For 7 days, celebrate the festival of the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Notice that line is going to be really, really, really important when I come up a little bit later on. And your joy will be complete. This festival is about joy and a promise that your joy is going to be complete. So when you're in Israel during the Festival of Tabernacles, Festival of Shelters, Festival of Booths, that's one thing about the Bible. It never just gives them one name so we all understand what it's talking about. It gives them several names just to confuse us. But you see these little shelters everywhere. They are in the forest, they're beside the side of the road, they're on people's balconies. Sometimes they're just like a little tent with food in them. Sometimes they're very elaborate and people will come and actually have their meals in them. Sometimes they're like glorified cubbies and people will sleep in them. But it's meant to make them remember the times when they were living in shelters and Jesus was leading them through the desert to the promised land. All right, so what do we know so far? Living water brings life. It's about new beginnings, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. It's about separating light from darkness, Genesis and Exodus. It's about remembering and celebrating. It's the Festival of Booths. We're missing something, though. Your joy will be complete. Let's look at that. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. Solomon then summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the leaders of the ancestral families of Israel. And they were to bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant to the temple from its location in the city of David, also known as Zion. So all the men of Israel assembled before the king at the annual festival of shelters, which is held in early autumn. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, "He is good, his faithful love endures forever." At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And the priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. It's a thick cloud. Again, it's a thick cloud. And this time it's bringing the glorious presence of God into the temple. In 2 Chronicles 7, we have that same passage written a slightly different way, and it says, "When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it." I don't know what the glorious presence of the Lord looks like, but you know, Ben and I was at a really, with our family, at a fireworks once in France, which was the wildest thing I have ever been to, because they were letting off fireworks on the beach with no safety guards and thousands of people everywhere. And there were fireworks zooming over your head and, like, it was full-on crazy. Like, there was gunpowder and colours and things going boom, boom above your head. And you didn't know whether you needed like face guards and earmuffs. But it was amazing. It was amazing. How much are we hungering and thirsting for the glorious presence of God to fill us, to fill our church, to fill our community? Living water brings life. new beginnings. It separates light from dark. It's about remembering and celebrating, and it's about the power and the glory, the presence of God. So in John 7, it says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go into Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one wants to become a public figure and acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. And then we jump ahead a little bit. And not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and began to teach. And the Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? And Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who has sent me. And then on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So we've got this little picture. And at the top is the temple. This is like the little, what do you call that, a diorama or a little mini Lego version of ancient Jerusalem. Thank you. A scale model sounds so much better. Diorama, mini Lego, you know what I mean. All right, so the temple is the top one. Now there's this trek that comes down. You can see it coming down. And it's got the little black marker. And then there's a pool circled at the bottom, which is the Pool of Siloam. Now, its other name was Well of Salvation. Well of Salvation, that's important. Its other name was Well of Salvation. And the priests would go and they would get a golden jug and they would get some water and they would trek back up to the temple and they would pour it over the altar as part of the drink offering. But on the last and final day, when they did this, a whole crowd would gather with them and they would take the jug and they would dip it into the Pool of Siloam, the Well of Salvation, and they would walk back and they would pour it over the altar and they would wait. They would wait. Why would they wait? Because when Solomon prayed, the glory of God filled the temple. And so they were waiting. Maybe this time it's going to happen again. Maybe this time as we pour out the drink offering, maybe this time the glorious presence of God is going to fill this place and we are going to be complete. Our joy will be complete. And it is in that pause. It is in that pause that it is most likely that Jesus says in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. He is the well of salvation. He is the one that makes our joy complete. He is the one that gives us new beginnings. He is the one that transforms our lives. He is the one that separates light from dark. He is the one that gives us reason to celebrate. He is the one that allows us to see his power and his glory. And he is the one that cleanses and satisfies. Jesus is living water, not looks like, not symbolizes, he is living water. Isaiah 12 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. The wells of salvation, the Pool of Siloam, the place that you bring the water up to the altar, that is Jesus. Can you see? The Bible is like a giant jigsaw puzzle. You've got to take this piece and this piece and this piece and this piece, and you have to put it all together to fully understand sometimes what is really going on. Now, Israel is also a dry place. But there is a place at the top of Israel, up near Dan, and it has the most beautiful, richest stream. It is amazing. It's like all of a sudden you come out of the desert and there's these incredible trees and fields, and there is this stream that's this babbling brook, and it comes down, and I couldn't find it in my photos because I wanted to show you. It comes around into this place and it's just amazing. It's like another well. And every time I go there, I just keep thinking, this is like Jesus embodied in this place. There's a passage in Jeremiah and it says this: "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water." Now, this is God speaking. This is God speaking, and he calls himself the spring of living water. "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You know, we see it all around us. People are trying to satisfy their own needs, their own desires with all that the world offers. But it doesn't hold. It doesn't satisfy them. It's like water just pours straight through. If you've ever tried to fill a bucket with a hole in the bottom, that's exactly what they're trying to do. A long time ago, I had a really vivid vision. And God reminds me of it every now and then. And it was this vision, this picture of all these people of different nations, different colors, different genders, different tribal clothes. And they were coming with cups. And these cups were of all different shapes and sizes and colors, but they were all filthy and they were empty. And they were coming to Jesus. And Jesus cleansed the cups. And Jesus filled the cups to overflowing. People, no one else can do that. No one else can do that. When Ben and I go to Uganda, there's a place that we love called Sippy Falls. And every time we go there, we take our team on a day retreat. And we get our team to stand under the waterfall and pray. To pray for themselves, for their families, for the nation. Because it's a reminder that Jesus is the living water. Church, I want to come to you today and I want to remind you that if you need a new beginning, you need Jesus. If you've got darkness in your life or in your heart or in your home, you need Jesus. If you need a reason to remember and celebrate, you need Jesus. If you want to see God do amazing, powerful, glorious things, you need Jesus. And if you want the transforming, cleansing, satisfying presence of God, you need Jesus. Because Jesus is living water. He is. He is living water from Genesis. I could have gone all the way through. There's so many more Bible passages that I had to take out all the way through to the end of Revelation. Jesus is living water. I want us to pray now. And I want us to do something. I want to encourage you to do something a little bit different with me. I'm going to ask the worship team to start playing in the background. And I want you to think of what is it that you are holding onto that is weighing you down. I want you to put your hands out in front of you. And I want you to think of what is it that is weighing me down. I'm going to go back a slide just for a moment. What is it that is weighing you down? Maybe there is something that is dark in your life. Maybe there is an area where you need a new beginning. Maybe there is something where you need to know the presence of God. I want you to just feel the weight of it for a moment. And this morning when I was praying, I just felt that God was reminding me that there are some people here who have been really wounded by their parents, mums, dads, and that has cut you to the quick. I want you to feel the weight of that for a minute because you're going to give it to Jesus. Some of you have a past that continues to shame you, to condemn you. And Jesus is saying that you need to give that to me today. Some of you are caught up in a sin that continues to own you, possess you. You need to hand that over to Jesus too. So whatever it is that is weighing you down, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a fear, I want you to give it to Jesus this morning with your open hands, and I want you to turn your hands over and just say, Jesus, it's yours. Jesus, it's yours. I don't want to be in bondage to anything. And you are my living water. And Jesus, may you and your presence right now in this place, can you just cleanse us? Can you please give us a new beginning? Can you wash our dirty glasses and cups? If you need to ask God for forgiveness of anything, this is the place right now. And then when you're ready, I want you to turn your hands back up and this time ask God to fill them with His presence. Ask God to fill them with His presence. Jesus, as a church, we want to wait on you. Jesus, as a church, we're asking for your thick cloud to fill this place. Jesus, as a church, we're asking for your glory to fill this place and to change and transform us. Let your streams of living water fill us, flow from within us, because we believe in you. Because we believe in you, Jesus. And as that living water flows, it brings life. It brings life, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the living water. Thank you that in you there are new beginnings every day. Thank you that in you we can experience your presence, your transformation. Amen.